You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Hey, hello church. It's good to see you today. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Lee Eden. I'm one of the pastors here at Gateway Church. It's really awesome that you're able to join us for church today. If you're not part of our church, hope you feel really, really welcome. I'm going to share a message for each and every single one of us today that is going to bless us, it's going to encourage us, and it's going to truly let us know God's heart towards every single person. You know, over the Easter weekend, we heard that God's grace is for all and God's grace is to all. And I just wanted to spend some time today just expanding on that. I'm not going to go over the same message. I just want to expand that for each and every single one of us so that we can have a true understanding of God's heart and God's grace. You know, the heartbeat of Gateway Church is relationship with God, grace to all. That's the heartbeat of our church. And I just want to take some time today to show all of us to see this picture of how Jesus makes this real to people. How does Jesus make a relationship with God and show his grace to people? How does he make that real to people? And also, what should be our response when we have an encounter with Jesus? When Jesus shows us his grace, when Jesus shows us his love, what should be our response to Jesus? See, when you have an encounter with God, it's not just so that God can change your life. It's because God wants to change the lives of many. He ministers to you, he loves you, and he wants you to share that with other people as well. So I'm not sure today whether this sermon is going to be a two-part sermon or a one-part. There's so much in this passage of scripture that we're about to read. And in John 4, we find Jesus has just left Judea, and he was ministering with his disciples, and his disciples were baptizing people, and he's returning to Galilee, his hometown. And so we're going to pick up in verse 4 the morning. There's a little bit of reading. I'm going to read the whole passage of scripture here because we need to see the whole scripture in context to understand exactly what's happening. And so in verse 4, it says this. You can read along on the screen at home. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to a Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. In other versions, it says Jacob's well was still there. And Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." That in itself is a massive thing. We'll expand on that later. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. There was a class thing going on at the time. She said to Jesus, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said. "And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and animals enjoyed?" And Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." He's talking about something entirely different right here. In verse 16, Jesus says, "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. And Jesus said, "You're right, you don't have a husband. for you've had five husbands and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place to worship while we Samaritans claim it here at Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worshipped? And Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter where you worship the Father, on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way. For God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. Just then the disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well, ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So people came streaming from the village to see him. A couple of thoughts before we get into it this morning. Verse 6 talks about Jacob's well still being there. It was still there. See, the blessing the generations from generation to generation, I want to highlight that generational blessing here today. You know, you may be living right now in the blessings of generations that have gone before you. I just want to encourage you, give God the glory for that. That is awesome that you're living in the blessing of those generations who have gone before you. But I also want to encourage you, can you keep cleaning the well? Can you keep making sure that the generational ways stay healthy and life-giving for this generation and the generations to come? Don't grow weary in living the ways of Jesus. You need to keep cleaning your well. You need to keep making sure that the ways of Jesus are still active in your life. It's great that you're living in the generational blessing, but what about those who are going to come after you? They need to be able to live in the generational blessing too. Secondly, maybe you're the first or the first in a long time who've begun following the ways of Jesus again. We all know it can be hard, it can be difficult, but I want to encourage you, keep redigging the well. Keep putting the Spirit of God into you. Keep reading the Bible. Don't give up in following the ways of Jesus. You think that maybe you're just doing it for yourself right now? Yes, you are, but you're also doing it for the generation who is to come. Don't you want your children's children's children to be those kids who go, I'm so grateful for great, great, great grandma or grandpa so-and-so who followed the ways of Jesus and showed us how to step into everything that God has for us. It goes from generation to generation. It's a picture that Jesus shows us that when we live well, when we show kindness, when we live in forgiveness and offer forgiveness, when we spend time with him, when we're repentant of sin and commit to being more like Jesus every day, it shows us how generational blessing can go on. It gives life-giving water regarding, I just want to encourage you, you're called to give life-giving water through generations and to the people around you. You're called to outwork this in your relationship with God. It may be difficult. It may be challenging, but God is with you. The Spirit of God empowers you. And you and your next generation will live in the blessing that God has for you. But for each and every single one of us, what do we do with it now? What do we do that, you know, we've seen this outwork over the generations. Maybe you haven't seen it outwork in your family of origin over the generations, but maybe, just maybe, you're part of a church family, hello, where it's a generational church, and the generations to generation keeps showing each other the ways of Jesus. So, but what do you do now that it's outworked in the generations? You know, the generations prepare the way for an encounter with Jesus at the right time. I'll simplify like this. What you're doing now prepares the encounter with Jesus for others, whether it's people in your family or it's the next generation of people that need to hear of the goodness and love of Jesus. I'll say that one more time. What you're doing now prepares the encounter with Jesus for others. So I thought I was just doing this for me. Yeah, you are. But you're also preparing for the encounter of others with Jesus. Don't give up on living out your faith how you're called to live it. Please don't give up. Stay strong. Lean into Jesus. Allow the Spirit of God to minister to you. The other thing I want to talk about from verse 6 is I want to bring this to your attention today, that even when Jesus is tired, he went out of his way to make sure that every person had the opportunity to hear with their own news the good news and freedom that he had for them. Why am I bringing that? Why am I highlighting this? Jesus is never too busy for you. He is never too busy for you. He's never too important for you. He will love you at all times and make time and make room for you. Humans, me, the people around you, we try our best. But even our best at times isn't enough. Only Jesus can love you like that. Only Jesus can give you that time when he's tired, when he's been on a long walk, a long journey, but he will still make room for you. So some key things from our passage of Scripture today. I want to encourage you with you. There's a couple of points. If you're taking notes today, feel free to write this down. If you've got the Bible app on your phone, all the notes are in the Bible app. If you're watching through the website, all the notes are in the little notes box over there. You can click on that and you can email those to yourself after the service. Why am I saying that? You need to take the Word of God with you into your week. It's not just to hear on Sunday. It's to activate on Monday for you, your family, and the people that God calls you to. So the first thing I want to say today is this. Jesus wants to give the gift of salvation and grace to everyone. We talk about grace to all. Jesus wants to give the gift of salvation and grace to everyone. That is his heart. And where do we find that in this passage of Scripture? In verse 10, it says this, in verse 10, Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me and I will give you living water." He wants to give you the gift of eternal life. He wants to give you fullness and wholeness. He loves you. He's like, "Oh, I've done this and I've done that. And if you only knew my..." No, forget about all those things. His grace actually means unmerited favor. He sees past all of those things and he sees you and he loves you and he wants to give you the gifts of salvation. And we look at this passage of Scripture here and you think about it. He's making time to make sure that this individual, this one person, knows about God's love for them, God's grace for them, and the salvation that is now present for them. But if you look at the situation, it's hot. He's hungry. Hopefully his disciples have gone to get him a burger and a Snickers, hopefully. And in the midst of life going on around him, in the midst of the heat, traveling in the desert, Jesus stays on mission. Jesus stays true to the reason that God sent him to us. He goes out of his way to give a call to action. The call being, if you knew who I am, if you knew the gift that God has for you, you'd ask me for it. And her response to the call, after she realizes that he isn't talking about water from a well, her response when she realizes that God is talking about quenching a thirst, her response is this: "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again and I won't have to come back here to get water." That's verse 15. I want to encourage you with this. She almost gets it. She almost gets it. She's like, "If I can have water and never have to thirst again and come back here in the heat of the day, that would be amazing." She wants to be free of coming to the well in the middle of the day. And who wouldn't want to be free of that? It's hot. It's lonely. She's by herself. She wants to escape the physical and the burdened place that she's in. Who wouldn't want to be free of being that outcast that's had five husbands and is living with somebody? Who wouldn't want to be free of the shame that her community had put on her? Do I agree with the shame? No, not at all. I don't agree with the shame that's been put on her. But that's the real life example that she's living right now. And so the second thing I want to share with you, that Jesus gets her attention. She almost gets it. She's like, I'm just going to give you a little bit more so that you can really understand what I actually want to give to you, the gift I want to give to you today. Jesus grabs her attention, and I want to encourage you that when Jesus speaks to you, he's always trying to grab your attention. And the thing that he'll often speak to you about is the very thing that you're trying to escape or run away from. So the second thing I want to share is this. Jesus will always bring up your sin, but it's not to judge you. It's to set you free of it. The very thing you're trying to run away from, the very thing you're trying to hide from, the very thing you're living in isolation to get away from, he's going to bring it up. But it's not because he wants to condemn you or bring shame on you. It's because he wants to set you free of it in Jesus' name. Verse 16, Jesus goes on to say, go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right, you don't have a husband. If you've had five husbands and you aren't even married to the man you're living with right now, you certainly spoke the truth. And at that moment in verse 19, the woman explains, you must be a prophet. To grab the attention of the woman at the well, he speaks to her about something that only God could have shown him. He's just going from one town to another and stops in the middle. There's no way that he could have known how to do that himself unless God had shown it to him. The fact that she'd been living in a relationship that probably wasn't the best relationship for her at the time. The fact that she'd been in five marriages. But he doesn't bring it up to make her feel bad or feel shamed, but to let them know that there is grace for her, salvation for her, freedom for her. The very thing that she'd been searching for but couldn't find in relationships. The personal issues that had followed her from relationship to relationship to relationship. The past issues that kept revealing themselves as present issues and had eventually led her to being an outcast within her community. She was no longer accepted by the people. See, Jesus brought up those things so that she could be healed and set free from them. And I just want to encourage you right now. When Jesus speaks to you about your stuff, it's to set you free. When Jesus speaks to you about past things, about sin, about things that have followed your relationships, things that have revealed themselves in your relationships, whether it's family relationships, relationships with members of the opposite sex, intimate, close relationships, moments where it's like the same thing keeps happening and happening and happening. I tell you the truth today, when Jesus brings stuff up, it's because he wants to set you free of it. That's God's heart for you. That's God's grace that he wants to show to each and every single one of us. I'd love to share a passage of scripture right now so that I can show you that this is God's heart. John 3:16, you heard me read that last week, but I'm going to add on verse 17 this week because it shows you the heart of Jesus. Verse 16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17, God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Other versions say, but to be its savior and rescue it. God wants to save us and rescue us. God doesn't want you to spend another day, to travel another day under the pressure of your sin and your shame and your self-depreciation. He certainly doesn't want you to take the same issues into another relationship like this woman had. To put it simply today, Jesus wants to save you and set you free from sin and all shame. No condemnation. He doesn't see any condemnation in you when you come into relationship with God. I think that's encouraging, personally. I think that's an amazing encouragement. Where you're sitting right now, sitting in your lounge room, sitting in your car, on your lunch break, whatever you're doing, that's an amazing encouragement for you that God wants to set you free, wants you to be free of shame, free of guilt, free of condemnation. And God sent his son Jesus so that you could have eternal life and step into all of those things. The third thing I want to share with you today is this. It's inevitable that when you encounter Jesus, you're going to want to share it with others. It's inevitable that when you encounter Jesus, you're going to want to share it with others. In verse 25, the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming. She's aware that God is sending Jesus, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. And then Jesus told her, verse 26, I am the Messiah. I'm the Savior that you're looking for. I'm the person that God sent, Jesus. I'm his son. I'm the Messiah. Verse 28, the woman left her water jar beside the well, ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. Well, that's a bit of a flip of the switch, isn't it? She's going to the well in the middle of the day, isolating and separating herself from the rest of her community. But one encounter with Jesus, all of a sudden she's owning all the things that she ever did. He told me all the things I ever did. I know that everybody else is aware, but he loved me. He showed me love. And I'm pretty sure he's the Messiah. Could he possibly be the Messiah? And this is the thing, when you have an encounter with Jesus and you go and tell everybody in it and you share about the truth, it's like, I was once held captive by this. I was once living in shame because I'd done this. You tell the truth to people, and now you let people know that the truth has set you free. Jesus has set you free. The response from the people in the village, they didn't shun her. They didn't push her away. They were genuinely interested to hear about this. Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the one that we've been waiting for, that's going to tell us all the ways of God and how we can be in relationship with him? Verse 30, so the people came streaming from the village to see him. And just as I come into the finish today, just as the team comes as well, I want to share some simple thoughts. And I hope that these simple thoughts will resonate with all of us at some level, whether you're watching for the first time or you've been part of Gateway for a long time. My prayer is this would resonate deep in your spirit, in your heart today. Or at the very least, if it doesn't resonate deeply, that it would at least explain why you felt a certain way about certain things. Things that you've perhaps tried to live in isolation from, or things you've been running away from. So I don't want to talk about that. We don't talk about that. Jesus wants to show you the truth so you can be set free of those truths that haunt you. See, God's plan for each and every single one of us is to know him personally. Be in a relationship with God and know his grace. Know his favor, his unmerited, undeserved favor. He wants to give that to each and every single one of us. See, God's plan for all of us is to make our churches and make our relationships healthy through Jesus. It can only be done because we've been made healthy by Jesus. And then we pursue a lifelong journey of being more like him every single day. Here's some thoughts, just to bring some clarity and things to hopefully resonate in your spirit today. Sin or selfish living ends up separating us from God. But it doesn't just separate us from God. It, It separates us from our true self, and it also separates us from others. We saw that in the picture of this story. I'll say it one more time. Sin or selfish living ends up separating us from God, our true self, and from others. I hope there's some light bulbs turning on this one. If you felt separated from people, felt separated from God, felt separated from relationships, close relationships, I just want to encourage you. It may be time to do some inward thinking. So, am I living out sinful things in my life? Or am I being selfish in the way that I live? Am I self-focused that I don't open up pathways for relationship, healthy relationships with people? The second thing I want to share a thought around is this, that when we hide the sin or shame from others, now we might hide it in face-to-face relationships, or we could choose to live our daily life in obscurity and isolation out of fear that people would see who we really are. Maybe you end up going to the well in the middle of the day by yourself type deal and separating yourself away from relationship with people because you just don't want people to see what's really going on, whether it's sin or shame. Maybe things have happened in your life and you carry the shame of those things and you just don't want people to see what's really going on behind the scenes. Or perhaps they already know what's going on in your life, and because of that, you avoid friendship, you avoid family, you avoid relationships because we simply don't want to deal with the fallout of the judgment of the way that we live our lives. We don't want to face the consequence of our decisions or indecision. I want to encourage you today that Jesus loves you so much that he wants to set you free of that. He wants to set you free of those things. He doesn't want you to walk with those things. That's definitely not his heart for you. See, whatever the reason, whatever the circumstance of your reality, Jesus wants to meet you today, and Jesus wants to give you a gift of salvation, freedom from sin, freedom from shame, freedom from doubt, freedom from self-depreciation, whatever it is that you're carrying today, he wants to set you free of it. The first gift that he wants to give is the gift of forgiveness, the gift of salvation, his merciful gift of grace to save you from sin and save you from yourself. That's the first gift. And the second gift, if you've already received the first gift, the second gift that he wants to give you is this. He wants to give you the gift of freedom from your past that activates you for now. I'll say it one more time. He wants to give you the gift of freedom from your past that activates you for now. For now in your relationships, for now in your family, for now in your community. He wants to activate you for now. How do you do that? You need to have an encounter with Jesus again today. The Spirit of God wants to come and minister to you right where you are right now, whether you're sitting, standing, walking, whatever you're driving, whatever you're doing. The Spirit of God wants to come and minister to you. See, when she received forgiveness, when she received healing, when she received salvation, all she wanted to do was share it with the whole town. She was activated for the now. See, when you find healing, when you find forgiveness, when you find that freedom that God has for you, you truly want to share it. You even perhaps want to share it with people that put you into the role of outcast. That was her heart. The people had put her into the role of outcast. She was so moved with her encounter with Jesus, so set free and forgiven the gift of eternal life, that she went to the very people who had placed her in that role and said, "I think it's the Messiah. You need to come and see." So what's your call to action today? Jesus gave her a call to action. What's your call to action today? Do you need to acknowledge that Jesus is your Savior? That he has a gift for you? Well, in a moment, you're going to have the opportunity to do that. Do you need to acknowledge that even though he's speaking to you and bringing up areas of sin or shame, that it's not to shame you or condemn you, but it's to set you free of it? Or are you reminded today that you need to share the hope and forgiveness that Jesus showed you? Do you need to share that with others and call them to come and see, I've found Jesus, I've found the Messiah, I found everything that you've ever been looking for. I found the one thing that's going to fill that spot, in your spirit that you've tried to fill it with everything else, but I've worked out that it's only Jesus. This morning in Romans 10 verse 9, it says this, that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I just want to encourage you right where you are right now. Just give me 3 minutes of your life right now. If you're watching right now, give me 3 minutes. This is your moment to find freedom. This is your moment to find forgiveness. This is your moment to be set free of sin. This is your moment to be set free of patterns in your life that are leading you down a path that you don't want to be on. This is your moment to be set free of shame and condemnation and guilt, all those things that you've been running from and isolating yourself away from. God wants to give you freedom for those things. And it's as simple as acknowledging that passage of Scripture, declaring with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then you'll be saved. Just like this woman had an encounter with Jesus, this is your moment to have an encounter with Jesus too. So if that's you, I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment. And part of my prayer is I'm going to be praying that scripture so that you can acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and you can believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So for each and every single one of us, why don't you just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment and pray this prayer after me. Church, can we all pray this together in every living room, wherever you are? Can we pray this prayer together? Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you that you sent your son Jesus.
You sent your son Jesus.
The most perfect gift.
The most perfect gift.
And I believe today. That Jesus is Lord.
That Jesus is Lord.
And you raised him from the dead.
And you raised him from the dead.
So from this moment on.
From this moment on.
I'm set free of sin.
I'm set free of sin.
I repent of my sin.
I repent of my sin.
I surrender my life to you.
I surrender my life to you.
I'm following you, Jesus. I'm
following you, Jesus.
I believe in you. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.